You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
How different will it look? What can you tell your fans?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're hoping that the Raiders defense shows up in a manner that is a little bit more stout.
Ball now comes out. Carl Nassib with the sack.
I'm really anxious to watch how we play collectively against one of the benchmark teams in this league, the Baltimore Ravens.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Still to come, Basketball Hall of Famer Chris Webber. Plus, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. If you're just joining us, where you been? We opened the show talking about the greatest night in Las Vegas since Sinatra at the Sands. That was insane last night. And as we pointed out at the top of our show, a hot mess that was highly entertaining in a visually striking location. Right. That all you could remember from the night before was all the wild and craziness and awful decisions that got made that still wound up with you watching something and enjoying something and enduring something that the next day makes you feel all hungover. It was like an actual trip to Las Vegas, Nevada, last night's Monday Night Football game. Talked about it with Daniel Jeremiah of Move the Sticks fame and everything that he took away from Monday Night Football and what he thought of the rookie quarterbacks in week number one. All of that now lives on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Bruce Feldman will join us in the third hour of this program from The Athletic and Fox Sports to talk about why USC decided to bounce Clay Helton so early in the season after all these years of struggling. And who's next at USC? I'll give you my four downs, my take of the week one action with three opinions and then one hot take. That's coming up shortly. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. But when this man had me at hello when he strolled onto the campus at the University of Michigan, and he's been on this show many, many times, and I'm thrilled to be able to call him a friend. So when a friend has a seminal moment, a milestone moment, a capstone career moment happen to him or her, I always call up and say, hey, congratulations. And this is going to suffice as that. The great, the one and only Hall of Famer, Chris Webber, back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. How are you, C-Webb?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Of course. What is going through your mind, coursing through your veins, beating in your heart right now, Chris Webber?
Man, it's crazy. My wife was in the room, and she just walked out, but I had you on speaker, and he said the Hall of Fame or whatever, and she looked back and laughed and clapped, and I was just like,
yes.
Wow. Yeah. Still getting settled with it, man. Still digesting it because it's overwhelming.
Well, I mean, let's walk through the weekend because I imagine it felt like a wedding, right? Where it goes fast, it goes, your whole family's there, and it's a big moment for you. And I'm wondering, did you like stop at any moment and be able to take in the moment, Chris?
You know what? I was. So the night after the Shrine is Saturday, I had just a small little dinner, and it was, you know, no extras. It's just the people kind of I grew up with. It wasn't like a party where you had to say hi or people didn't know each other. Everybody knew each other. And I just got, you know, was able to thank everybody, you know, personally that I may have missed in the speech or talk a little bit to them about, you know, specific stories with them and what they meant, why they meant so much to me. Maybe that I wasn't able to share on stage. And so I really did. And it was really through the people because I do remember games and things like that. And, you know, don't get me wrong, and teammates. But, you know, I really remember more of the moments and certain things that, you know, that were great during that season or some of our best memories. And so it was really cool seeing, you know, so many family members, coaches, and things like that I had. And, yeah, I did get a chance to kind of enjoy it.
And the thing that I always love, there's two things. There's two parts about a Hall of Fame weekend. I've been around almost 20 of them for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I want to take it one by one with you. The first of the two is the basketball gods bestowing upon you, obviously, the great gift that puts you in the Hall of Fame and your ability to use that to get you in the Hall of Fame, with a random selection of other people who had it happen to them. And it's just always interesting to see the class together and get to know one another. Yeah. Did you meet anybody or renew any acquaintances, or, you know, walk me through you and your classmates going into Springfield together, C-Web?
Bobby Dandridge is crazy. He's the funniest man. I love him and his wife. And, man, he's awesome, man. He's a joke a minute. And I had a lot of fun, not only watching his speech, but hanging out with him. Charlie Scott, I got a chance to hang out with before last year, and I was looking for him. I actually got to find his number. And but he was so much fun, you know, too. A New York guy that talks a lot of junk. But, you know, Bosh, you know, my love for Bosh grows more and more. I didn't hang out with players during that time. I actually stayed away from players, didn't want to work out with them, wanted to keep them as enemies. It was a different time and place, and a lot of them I'm cooler with now. But with Bosh, you know, I just love his kids. I respect him. And, you know, when you really think about his story again, having to retire at 31, even though he had championships and things like that, you know, he just seemed to be cool. But the best moment probably that I had there with the Hall of Fame was with Ray Allen. And it was after the ceremony. And we just had a conversation, and Ray is somebody that I really respect a lot, and it was probably one of the best conversations with any athlete that I've ever had.
Really?
And,
can you share anything from what do you, you know, I'll just whatever you can share from that after you just said that.
It was,
Chris?
It was just, it was just that he just said some words to me that were encouraging, and he relayed something that his wife had said to me just about kind of how I grew up with my teachers or something like that. But it led into just a deeper conversation. And for somebody that has the principles that he has and that I really respect, it meant a lot. We never really got to talk, and that's part of it. Part of it was, you know, I stayed away from hoopers. I had a wall up, and, you know, he addressed that, and we kind of just addressed, you know, some really good things. And it was cool. He got where I was coming from. And sorry to be speaking in, you know, code or anything. I'm not trying to, but really it was overwhelming. I'm trying not even to get back in that space of remembering the conversation because...
Is that deep?
Because, you know, I'm not trying to be crying on the Rich Eisen show.
No. Well, then let me add a little bit of levity. How was Paul Pierce's Shabbat dinner that Friday night? Did you get one of those in there with him?
No, I didn't
have one of those.
I didn't get to it, but if he had a dinner, I bet it was crazy. I bet it was nice.
Well, I didn't check my Instagram stories Friday night. I imagine that was a lit Shabbat dinner for Hall of Fame weekend. Chris Webber here on the Rich Eisen Show. Well, then I will proffer to say that maybe I'll give you a teardrop warning here, because the second aspect of a Hall of Fame weekend that I love watching is family getting together, right? And journeys. And I know your dad, who you're named after, Chris is not your first name, that your dad slipped the jacket on you, which is one of my favorite moments. I'm the host of the jacket dinner at the Hall of Fame every year, and it's one of my favorite gigs to MC. What was that moment like for you, Chris Webber?
It was an incredible moment, man. I mean, the best part about it is, you know, I have a lot of brothers, and so when it's somebody's graduation, when it's somebody else's moment, usually there's a clown in our family that's, you know, stealing all the energy or giving all the energy just to let the person enjoy it. And my whole family enjoyed it so much that I really enjoyed it. It was their weekend, you know, instead of just tiptoeing around, they were like, no, this is our weekend. And so it was just so fun to see everybody embracing it. Having my father do that, man, it was, it's the crowning moment, you know, having him be there when he drafted, knowing what he went through growing up, and then, you know, him knowing that that's the reason. So before I got on the plane, he was at a restaurant, and I gave him my bag with the ring and champagne and everything in. I'm like, here, and the trophy. I'm like, hey, take this with you. And, you know, he's like, no, I can't take it. I can't take it. And then he started to kind of tear up, and I just ran. And I was like, damn, I left the champagne in there because he doesn't drink. And I'm like, I need that champagne. But it was one of the best moments, man. It was one of the best moments ever, man. I can't lie to you. And the speech, I was so nervous, I forgot to say that it was their 50th wedding anniversary.
No way.
And I was here celebrating it with them and all this, but hey, he got the point. But it was my honor, man. It was my honor to have him put that jacket on me.
So are you saying, Chris Webber, you got into the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts on the same weekend or even day of your parents' 50th wedding anniversary? Is that a true story? Is that it?
No, wedding anniversary was July 31st. But it was the same, you know, year. I was saying
there you go.
50th,
that's incredible.
Anniversary, so.
That is unbelievable. That is
right?
So cool. That is
it
so
is.
Cool. So let me ask you this, Chris Webber. If I had some ability to wave a wand, because I saw Juwan was there and that Steve Fisher was there, if I had somehow intruded into a moment with you and the rest of the Fab Five and said one day you were going to be wearing a jacket for the Hall of Fame and you'd be the first one there, what would you have said, Chris Webber, on that day?
Oh, man, I would have, I wouldn't have believed that I'd been in the Hall of Fame. So we had to discuss that first. But seeing Fish there and Juwan and talking to Ray on text and all that, it's awesome, man. And it is, you know, we're family, and you know, I think you're going to see everybody very soon. And actually, I'm going to practice pretty soon, so I just can't wait. You know, As I said, I love the University of Michigan. Hopefully all the fans understand, especially from Michigan and Sacramento, that, you know, that me being in means you're in and we're all in together. And so I can't wait to go celebrate, hang out. I'm going to homecoming, hanging out at the games and things like that. So, I'm very sure, and I'm sure Juwan's going to be there forever, so we're going to have a lot of time to celebrate and get back. But, yeah, man, we're back, and hopefully, you know, every fan knows that. Hopefully everybody in Michigan knows that, and I'm glad a lot of the young high school kids know that because, man, I got a lot of DMs saying congratulations for some great, you know, kids out there. So, yeah, man, I love Michigan and glad that hopefully we can just go forward and enjoy some winning days with the football, basketball, and all sports there in Michigan.
Yeah, so, you know, C-Web, you'd mentioned earlier that you were walled up around other players when you were in the NBA, and now you're saying that the walls are coming down, and I'm just wondering if all the walls for you, with everything that's gone on over the last 25 years, somehow are coming down or disintegrating or beginning to come down because you got this jacket, man. I mean, you're in. This is it. You proved it. You did it. Fact. Doesn't matter what happened back in the early 90s. What you did is done and never going to be taken away from you. That's forevermore. Your kids and their kids and their kids will go to Springfield and see you. I'm wondering how that's landing on you right now, Chris.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome, you know, that this would happen, but having to deal with, you know, not being in or other things, you know, I believe in working on yourself all the time, and hopefully the resolve over the past, you know, 10, 15 years is what got me to this point. And, you know, because if an award made you say, okay, this is cool, I kind of would be like, damn, where's the process? You know, that kind of means that an award makes you, you know, do that. And so, you know, I haven't explained a lot of things and talked about a lot of things, but I wouldn't I wouldn't say a wall is coming down. I would just say it's just more opportunity for someone to get to know me, and that's kind of what me and Ray were talking about, because he had kind of been judged the same way as well, or other things like that. And so, no, I think it's just life's process, and, you know, whether it's having twins, whether it's living life, whether it's just trying to be a better person, you know, you're going to have to, you know, work on making decisions out of love, not fear, work on forgiveness, you know, gratitude, humility. And so those are things like a relationship between me and God. So hopefully, you know, if I serve that purpose, everything with man is, you know, secondary, because that's the way it should live. So hopefully, you know, just every day you get better and enjoy. But I'm going to be around basketball, and I'm very competitive. And so, you know, if you see me as an owner of a team, okay, don't expect me to hang out with 29 other owners, because I wouldn't change anything about my work ethic or style, the way that I play. But I definitely want to become a better person every day, Rich. That's the goal.
Well, it seems that then it would be counter of me to say what I'm about to say after you were so inspiring. I don't want to talk to James Dolan either. So I totally hear you, brother. So that's, is that the plan for you, is ownership? That's what that's in the, on the radar, the C-Web radar, right now?
As you know, I thank Magic and Junior Bridgman and other guys. You know, I haven't really talked about what I'm doing on the business side, but I'm very excited what's been accomplished.
Okay.
And what's happening in the future. You know, I definitely want to be around basketball forever. I mean, it's no secret. My team was in for the bid of the Atlanta Hawks a few years back. And so, you know, yeah, I would love that to be the goal. That is a goal. I'd love to still try to win the championship. But in the meantime, you know, there's a lot of work and to be done, and some, you know, some awesome opportunities. But yeah, I'm excited on the business side for what Junior Bridgman, Magic, Isaiah, Vinnie Johnson, so many others that are excelling in business beyond what people may know.
Dwayne Wade.
And then, you know, kind of showing me the way.
Dwayne Wade, too, right? There he is. You're seeing Dwayne Wade sitting courtside with the Jazz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, Dwayne Wade's an awesome owner. Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about the owners, ownership, though. I mean, you know, Junior Bridgman, what he's done as far as in business, over $1 billion in sales.
Okay, all right.
Vinnie Johnson and those guys. So, I mean, more on the business side, what Magic has done. But, yeah, I mean, Dwayne Wade's a man. Anything Dwayne Wade touches his goal, especially with his clothing and everything else. So as far as entrepreneurs, he's a guy that, that you know, definitely is rocking and doing his thing, and I admire as well.
Yeah, you'll be at future events, too, in the same jacket. That's for sure one day.
Oh, man.
There's
question
with Dwayne Wade coming your way.
Of time.
All right. So last one for you. You keep hinting at it. I'm just going to walk straight through the front door. So you're going to see, we're going to see a Fab Five reunion photo coming up. Is that what you're, did you?
I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure you will.
All right.
I'm sure. I mean, why not?
All right.
Why not? I mean,
I want in on that.
I love the program, and I mean, I'm sure it'll happen. So I don't even think that's like a surprise anymore, or like, you know, it is newsworthy. I can't wait till it happens. But yeah, I think that's just, you know, it's just a matter of time. Again, Juwan's the head coach there. And them winning and having a successful program is most important. But, yeah, we're definitely going to be there supporting them, so I can't wait.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll hop in and take the selfie. I want in. You know, everybody thinks, please, everybody thinks Pelinka's the other, the sixth man in. No.
Right.
I'm here in L.A.,
they,
too.
They don't
I'm
know you were there on campus, baby, that you were the man with the pen in your hand doing your thing back there.
That's right. I'll be there. No, I would have just graduated. You and Desmond kept bridging me back to the school after I graduated. You and Desmond.
Oh, man.
That's what you know.
Man.
What a time.
I mean, I'll tell you what, if it when I find out what happens or whatever, because it'll be such a special moment, I'll text you, man. I'll text you. And let you know, you better hurry up and jump on that plane.
All right, before I let you go back to fatherhood, I will give you the floor, as always. The Lions came close. I don't know if you missed it because you were flying back from Massachusetts or anything like that, but you see what happened with the Lions in the first week? What do you
think? The Lions came very close.
Yes.
You know, I'm gonna leave it there. I love our Lions.
Okay.
My brother, let me tell you this, Barry Sanders is a great man. My brother sent me a video from Barry Sanders, you know, congratulating me.
How great is that?
So that was the highlight of my Sunday. Imagine getting that, you know, while I'm filling out, making, checking on my fantasy roster. But I do want to talk about this.
Okay.
Because I want to say it. And I know experts, you know, and since I argue with fans, they can argue with me.
Yes.
But, Rich, I want to put on record, I'm not one of these fair-weather guys. I said when the trade happened that the Rams were going to be my team. I said it.
Yep.
I cried in my T.O. voice about my quarterback, saying that's my quarterback. Y'all saw what he did.
He did.
The man only had 2,000-yard rushers in his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he play well? Why couldn't he throw off the pass action? You know that boy from Georgia where they, come on, man. I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you. But that's okay. Me and Vegas already have an agreement, or we already going to see what's going to happen. But watch out for my Rams. And my line.
Stafford, man, he looked phenomenal. He was great. He was terrific. I know. Oh, this is going to be great.
In the back, oh, my God. Donald up front, I'm trying to tell you, everybody, oh, Stafford, he was with the losing team. He was with this. As an athlete, I just want to say, it's all about opportunity. Remember Chauncey Billups? Remember they said he was a malcontent, couldn't play, got traded from the Celtics, and see what happened years later? Don't get me wrong. A lot of it is the player's fault. I'm not saying that. But a lot of it is opportunity and situation. And so I'm just happy to see him, you know, see him get a real shot at it while he still has an arm. And boy, does he have an arm.
Love you, Chris Webber. Congratulations. You're a Hall of Famer, man. And to your whole family, this was great to see this weekend. And I appreciate you coming on the show to let me tell the whole world how I feel about you. And congratulations. Yeah.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. Go Blue. When we all get together for that.
Let's do it. Thanks again, Chris. And go enjoy the rest of your day and your family, and we'll chat soon.
C-Web. Congrats, Chris.
That's C-Web, everybody. There you go. Of course, if they're getting back together, and I can make it all the way out to Chrysler Arena to be there for that.
You're going.
And then... do one of those.
Hop in.
Come on, guys.
You
know what? I would probably hand the phone to one of the guys because I think their arm length
longer
is a probably
longer.
Better selfie
longer.
Taking than mine.
A little longer.
6'10", 6'11".
I'm just going to go out on a limb. Take that, Palenka.
Palenka.
He'll be there, too.
I mean, he's busy. He's busy.
He's busy.
Hey, Palenka's busy. Palenka's going
he's,
to that,
he's
bro.
Busy adding a fourth all-star to
he's
the
busy.
Starting team.
They can have Rob Lowe fill in. He looks just like
him. Is that right?
Yeah, he looks just like him. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't look like Palenka.
Rob Lowe stands in for the picture.
What's that guy doing in there?
A little less hair. It's fine.
I thought he's like, oh, sure, it's going to happen. It's not news now. Like, yeah, it is. When will that be? Maybe when Juwan puts 5 All-Americans out on the McDonald's kids out on the floor to start the season.
Juwan makes it to the Final
boy.
Four.
I got to stop. I got to pump the brakes.
Well, Michigan's a basketball school now, Rich.
Let me tell you, at freezing cold takes, right?
Yeah.
Or at old takes exposed.
Old takes exposed,
me. Get it all right. I want to see all the people from Francesa and all those folks who thought Juwan was a bad hire at Michigan. Terrible. Awful. All right. We got a long way to go in the football season. When we come back, your phone calls 844-204-RICH and my four downs. Wait till you hear my hot take. I think C-Web will like it.
Oh.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, Tom Brady, not only the greatest at the football,
Oh, you saw this yesterday?
Tom Brady, not only the greatest, just fill in the blank, but him and his social media team are stupendous.
They're genius.
And I don't know. I'd love to know the process. Like, do they pitch him on ideas and he gives the check mark?
Right.
Because sometimes I imagine he's got to see everything before he hits send on it.
I would think so. No,
look, when you're a GOAT control freak, you can't be that without being a control freak.
He's not like, handing the ball.
There are times like he doesn't need to see the Instagram hype videos before a game, I don't think.
No.
But something like this has got to be pitched to him, and he's got to say, yeah, I got it.
And he records it, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, because he's part of it. He's a star of it.
Yeah,
like, some of them don't feature him.
Right.
Bucks are taking on the Falcons. And you sometimes kind of forget this because the Falcons are now a division opponent. And the Bucks and the Falcons have their own history together. And you kind of forget, yeah, he has his own history with the Atlanta Falcons. Take a look. Notice what you see.
Hey, what's up? Hope you guys had a great weekend. Football is officially back. And it's great to be 1-0. We got a big week ahead. The marathon's just getting started. We got a lot to improve on and excited for this week. Let's go.
Okay. Now, you're like, what are you talking about, Rich?
Well, there's a bunch of highlights after that that followed.
Yeah. We're cutting it off because I don't know if we have the rights to show that sort of stuff. Nor does Tom, but he's also, you know, like, come sue me.
Yeah. All right, exactly. So, come find me.
Take a look again. And, Mike, if you wouldn't mind lowering the volume on this one. Replay it one more time, Hoskins. Go for it. Just lower the volume. I don't want to hear Brady, if you don't mind.
Gotcha,
it's just
because
it's what we're talking about. Everyone's like, Rich, what are you talking about? Yeah. Go ahead. Roll it. Look at the screensaver behind him that's peeking about over his right shoulder. What time does it say, Chris?
It says 3:28.
Now, why would he be either choosing this moment to shoot it in one take or somehow setting the time to be at 3:28? Why would it be 3:28?
Well, Rich, in Super Bowl 51, in the third quarter, the score was Patriots 3, Falcons 28.
Just like that. 3 on the left. 28 on the right.
Yeah.
Come on.
By the way,
I'm going to go even farther to say
not an accident
that in the screen set like that.
Not an accident.
I'm sure you could do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Not an accident.
Like, yeah.
Oh.
He didn't wait. He set that completely.
That is fantastic.
Wise to go.
And just little Easter egg for everyone to find.
Oh, yeah.
TB12.
It's just amazing.
Well, we found it. We saw it. 3:20.
I mean, that is fantastic.
Oh, boy. Oh. Next level trolling.
What a game.
NLT. TB12. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Turzo in Iowa. Let's get our favorite counselor there in the heartland of our country.
All
what's
eyes.
Up, Turzo? That's right. Well done.
Hey, what up, everyone?
What's up, Turzo? How are you?
Hey, doing well, man. Last night's game was epically fun. I was playing bingo down at Carl's, had a little money on the game, you know, had a nice little parlay, kept me interested the whole entire night.
What does a bingo night at Carl's, which is where in Iowa again is this one more time? It's the
Des Moines.
Okay.
It's the capital.
Right. So what is a bingo night during Monday Night Football at Carl's entail? Like how much? Let's put it that way. What's the swing?
Free chili.
Okay.
Free chili. It's usually put on by one of the craft brewers around the state. So they come in, they sponsor the whole entire deal. You win swag, you watch football, eat chili. Good time.
Amazing.
Okay, and what's the swing? How much could you walk out lighter or heavier on a night like that?
Well, no. That's just been through William Hill at that part, having the Giants over, the Giants, and then taking the Raiders.
Ooh. So that didn't work out very well, right, Chris?
The Raiders.
No, the Raiders did.
The Raiders did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Turzo.
So did the Giants baseball.
Oh,
Giants
okay. Baseball. So was that say
I was
football?
Like, Giants football.
What? Okay.
Giants baseball.
Dude, I'm a Giants fan. I don't bet on the Giants football
team.
I'm betting on the first baseball team to win to clinch a playoff spot.
All right, Turzo.
Got it.
I love it. That was Turzo. A big night last night. That was insane.
I would love to go to that with Turzo.
That'd be what fun. Was the most insane part of last night?
Oh, okay. So.
What was it?
Was it Mark Davis, his haircut, an outfit?
Nope.
Okay. I got to think.
I almost texted Charles Woodson, ask Mark, did he get that suit where he gets his haircut? And I was afraid. I was afraid that somehow Mark Davis would look over his phone and just see one of the employees of NFL Network asking that question. And now here I am saying it into a radio, Raider Nation Radio could be hearing right now.
Hi, Mark, if you're driving around.
Hello.
Vegas.
Did you get the suit where you get your haircut?
Rich, it has to be the sequence where Bryan Edwards scores a touchdown, doesn't score a touchdown, doesn't get the quarterback
sneak. I need a moment. You're giving me a sequence.
Sorry. The ball going off the Ravens player's head and then into the arms for an interception.
I don't know.
Helmet deflection, interception in the end zone and overtime. That was
insane. That's got to be it. You're right.
And then Gruden throws his papers on the ground.
What else is he supposed to do?
Like, that was enough.
What else is he supposed to do? What else? What other natural reaction can you have? I know that you need to be stoic on the sidelines because you don't want to be seen showing your guys up or whatever. But what else you need? What else need be said?
Yeah.
Right?
That was incredible. I mean, did you really think Lamar Jackson was going to fumble again?
No.
After that?
No. Did I also think that they'd go hard count and have a false start on the half-yard line?
How about the way they won it? Did you see Gruden said they couldn't find the kicker?
What do you mean they couldn't find him? I did.
Carlson was on the sideline warming up.
Right.
And Gruden, they couldn't find him.
What do you
Gruden
mean couldn't see him.
They couldn't tell him, yo, we're kicking it on second down.
Where did they
think
he went?
So they had to take the delay game.
Where did he go? Get a drink at the club?
I have no idea. So then they just drew up a play, and that was the bomb touchdown to win.
I'm telling you, anybody who's never been there before,
first off,
it's like a different universe. When you get off a plane in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's just the air feels different. The whole concept of time.
Well, there is no time.
Is warped.
There's no time.
Your whole concept of what's right and wrong gets totally warped. You just objectify every human being you see. You go there
smoke,
and Lady Luck smiles on you and then does not and then does not and then does and then does not and then certainly does not. Then you go see a show and it's something you would never pay that much money to see anywhere else.
Right.
But it doesn't matter because money has no value. Because you're just like doing stupid stuff like, you know what? I've got $100 that I would never spend ever on anything. On black. Go.
Go!
And it's just like, honestly.
No more bets.
That's what last night's game was.
No more bets.
And it's just like later on that night, you're thinking to yourself, like, why did I think that? How did that possibly happen? That wouldn't happen anywhere else. Like, not finding a kicker in overtime. Having a ball hit off a helmet and get picked off after you've already won the game, but the referees say you hadn't. Then you come back and you personally blow it.
How about everyone hugging and shaking hands after the game? Lamar is like waving to everyone. They're almost like going to do the jersey exchange. The game's over.
I know. And my son, Coop's watching it with me. Okay. And then Zan came down and watched with me because he just finished his homework. And Cooper just looks at me when the game's over. And he goes, that was wild. And he's 10. He gets it.
He gets it.
And then he starts laughing at me because I lost my fantasy. And Xander starts laughing at me because I needed 9 yards more out of Josh Jacobs and thought I was going to get that bunny touchdown at the end. I thought, game over. The whole thing just feels weird the next day. It's like a trip to Vegas.
It's like a trip to Vegas.
Without my children, clearly.
Of course. $100 stakes. You don't do that, Mike.
No.
Like, what are we doing?
I'm talking about a show.
I do $100 steaks.
Let me tell you something.
$28 drinks.
I'm sure they're very, very. They're all very talented. You can't get to Vegas and not be talented.
No.
I really don't think. Honestly, would you spend that much money on somebody painting their entire body blue and doing stuff?
Just banging drums.
I paid a lot to go see the Blue Man.
Would you ever honestly?
No, come on.
I saw them. I went. I mixed.
They're very the Blue Man Group.
It's amazing.
Very, very talented.
Oh, that shows its name.
But that much money. Here's what. Also, this too. What is the oldest form of entertainment today? Okay, oldest form of entertainment today. Okay, I understand outside what Wags was lamenting his child getting to.
Okay.
Okay. Not a House of Dance.
Okay.
It's an open-ended question. It's my bad for saying that to degenerates like you. I mean,
you didn't even want me to answer that question.
My bad. I'll do the Del Tufo.
I was like, shut up, TJ.
Cirque du Soleil.
This too. Cirque du Soleil, yes.
It's acrobatics like Ringling Brothers in Barlam, but we used to pay like $5 at the Garden to go see that.
To me, though, it's ventriloquism.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right.
Let's put a puppet here.
Right.
And then make it talk and Harry not Fader. Move your lips. Right?
Jeff Dunham.
Would you
Jeff
spend? Dunham. They're very talented.
All the time.
And they probably make
a killing.
Killing. Because people come to Vegas and say, I'll spend thousands of dollars just to go there. and part of that thousands of dollars will be go seeing somebody with a puppet on their lap.
Sure. It's like 90 minutes. It's
you
nothing.
Make choices it's you would not make anywhere else.
It's kind of like,
and I know this is, it's insulting, but I'll say it too. When you go into an airport, you're past security, I'll spend $19 on a water.
Yeah. So dumb.
$25 on a, they got you.
They got you.
That bag of cash. It's like $20.
Oh, you want one?
$12 bag of M&Ms. Yeah. Awesome.
Exactly. I would never need that amount, copious amounts of candy.
Never.
But I will spend that insane amount of money. Oh, $20 on a energy bar?
Those Funyuns look good.
Yeah.
$38 turkey sandwich.
Come and go, and it's Vegas. Vegas. Last night, it was a total trip to Vegas.
Vegas, man.
All right. Now we'll take a break. Let's do this. Okay, because I don't want to hurry the four downs. More of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I will give you my final takes on week number one, because tomorrow we'll start turning the page to week number two. That's coming up with also Bruce Feldman on the firing of Clay Helton.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
What is going on with you, Jim Brockmeyer and Brett Musburger?
This is my Musburger face. No, you can't put that to bed, Rich Eisen. You know why you can't put it to bed?
Okay.
Because he's a punk, that's why. Brett Musburger is a P-U-N-K punk. The man is a thief, okay? Brett Musburger is a thief.
How so?
Stole my line.
What line was that?
This is for all the Tostitos. Remember that? This is for all the Tostitos. Remember when he said that? Everybody in the business, no, it's not funny. Everybody in the business knows that was my line, but he went ahead and used, that's what I always yell when I climax inside of a woman. or when I climax all by myself. Musburger knew that was my line. He used it anyway at the BCS title game. And ever since then, now I have to yell out, Ruffles have ridges. And it's not... It's not the same thing. So verdict? What's the verdict of all that? What did you take from that?
He's a punk.
Musburger's a punk. That's right.
Here is Brett Musburger. How are you, Brent?
Hey, Rich. Rich, I'm great. Listen, you guys, you and the producers, you deserve, a pat on the back. I'm so proud of you guys for trying to help resurrect little Jimmy Brickmeyer's career. We all know the problems. We all know the problems that he had in the past. But if anybody can help Brickmeyer, it's you, Rich.
Yeah, well, he says that you stole all the Tostitos from him, Brent. Is that true, or what do you know from back in the day?
No, I got paid. I got paid by a company to drop the name. I got free Tostitos for a week. What are you talking about?
Okay.
What's he talking about?
Right.
The man's delusional. We know he's got mental problems to break down, you know. It's really interesting because as we started these in here, in Las Vegas, and Brickmeyer was having trouble getting a job. So he called our executives, and, you know, I got to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. Don't tell anybody this, but we always talk to prospective announcers just to get an idea. Do they really know anything about sports gambling, or are they just pretending? And I got to tell you, a general manager, he interviewed Brickmeyer and asked him about a three-team parlay. And our boy, Jimmy, mm-hmm. he thought that was two hookers with him in a Morristown hotel room. You know, Jesus, we would have loved to help him out, but we just can't. I wish him the best. He's so delusional. And listen, let him go at it. For all the Tostitos, baby.
Well, Brent's call must have been like last night, too. Oh, it must have been epic, man. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's take a phone call or two before I get to my four downs here. Let's go to Patrick in Florida. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
What's going on?
Oh, man. It's awesome to see you, man.
Oh, thanks.
I'm glad you got the platform that we could reach out to you.
Thank you. Me too.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about Jameis Winston.
Okay.
I think a lot about this guy. I really do. I think, you know, when he won the championship at Florida State, he won the hearts of North Florida. And I want to know how you feel if him taking a year off to play behind Drew Brees have really helped him to become an MVP caliber quarterback this year.
Well, I don't know. I will pump the brakes on MVP caliber quarterback. He had an excellent first game. Patrick, and you know, he clearly, with his second opportunity in life after what happened to him at Florida State when he got to the NFL, he was still very, very immature. There's no two ways about it, and may not have been ready for the mantle of being a first overall selected quarterback in the NFL, despite Lovie Smith being there. And then obviously, coaching changes happened for him, and his opportunity now wound up where he was in New Orleans, and that had to have been humbling, where he had to sit and watch, but at least sitting and watching with a goat in front of him, and he had to be disturbing and potentially unnerving to watch that goat be out for a couple of weeks and then him not being the chosen starter. But now he does have his opportunity, and the situation was extremely rife with anxiety from the displacement of the team to the city, you know, putting its hopes and wishes into the team. That could be unnerving. Certainly, since it's the first game after Drew Brees, that's unnerving. And then Green Bay being the one on the other side of the field with Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback he would have to match throw for throw in Rodgers' return from whatever happened with him this offseason in his first game back as his MVP defense. And he's the one that threw for 5 scores with no touchdowns. He's the one who won, and he's the one who comported himself from the podium in the manner of representing his new city that oozed leadership and maturity. And for that,
right,
he deserves the tip of the cap from me. MVP quarterback, I'm going to obviously have to sit back and watch that one.
And watch. We just have to watch. That's
yes, sir.
What make it fun.
Thanks for the call. Call back again soon. That's my take on Jameis. Okay. For those new to these parts, why? Secondly, all good. Thirdly, it's called Four Downs. Yes. Every single Tuesday during the NFL season, I take stock because I'm a stock taker, figuratively. I'm not like Al Michaels sitting around looking at the Dow Jones every 5 seconds when I'm not on the air. I'm taking stock in the NFL, and I'm looking around, and I've already given a ton of opinions from the minute week one ended to this very moment. So I kind of go back and go over some areas that I haven't hit just yet. And it's called Four Downs because the first three opinions in each down are ones that I firmly believe in. And then the fourth one is something I kind of believe, but it's a very hot take. I allow myself a hot take. So many of my competitors just go for it. Don't care. Hold on segments that say this is where I was wrong, and that allows them to keep hot taking because they show just an ounce of humility every now and then. I won't do that. But I will allow myself one hot take once a week, and here it comes. It's the first 2021 edition of Four Downs.
Hut, hut.
Four Downs with Rich.
Here we go.
Why did you stop?
First down.
All righty then. First down for me on this program is kind of straight up. Put it up, Mike Hoskins, for your first down right here. West Coast bias. Here it comes. Here it comes. All you East Coasters, you know, don't pay attention to what happens on the West Coast. I know because I'm an East Coaster who used to not pay attention to what happened on the West Coast.
Yep.
Sat there on ESPN for 7 years. It was all about the Northeast. And then when it comes to college football, it's all about the Southeast. Well, now guess what? In the National Football League, every single team, 1 week through the 2021 season, from Denver on west, not a single loss on the landscape. The NFC West, which I called the deep end of the pool for years now, everybody won, and three of them on the road, including one of the most impressive wins of the weekend, Arizona in Tennessee. Seattle took care of business in Indianapolis. San Francisco held on for dear life against Detroit after taking a big 28-point lead. And then, of course, we saw what the Rams did on Sunday Night Football. We saw the Chiefs coming back against the Browns to start the season with a big win against a team that thought they could make some hay against them and put a pelt on their wall to start the season in the Browns, but they came back on Cleveland and won that one. Denver went into New Jersey and put the bang thing on the Giants with Teddy Bridgewater, with Vic Fangio's seat all hot. The Los Angeles Chargers, with their new head coach, Brandon Staley, went east, and the offensive rookie of the year took his lumps against the defensive rookie of the year from last year, but came out and emerged a winner. And guess what didn't happen to the Chargers? Crazy-ass stuff with 10 seconds left on the clock. They actually took care of business. And then the Raiders last night, perhaps the least likely victory of all of them, with the Ravens coming in all licking their running back wounds in a crazy contest to wrap up week number one. West Coast bias, that's what you're going to get here on the Rich Eisen Show, because the best football teams are Rockies West, it looks like.
West side.
I'm sure there's one in Tampa that would say, don't forget about us. But there's West Coast bias around here. Second down.
Second down.
Second down is Deshaun Watson's bad Sunday. He had a bad weekend. Not only was he a healthy scratch in Houston, but every single team that was reportedly kicking tires on him, see if they could get him on the cheap and bring all his baggage and deal with whatever he would bring, with a civil suit or a grand jury looking in or the FBI either looking into him or not. Don't care. He's still Deshaun Watson. At one point, we assume he'll be through all that. We can get him right here, right now. And we don't care if we're going to upset a 2021 apple cart if it gets out. We don't care if we bring him here and we actually sacrifice the season because we do have to sit him out, or the league sits him out, or anything. We don't care. We're going to kick the tires on him anyway. Every single one of those teams that reportedly kicked the tires on him won. Jalen Hurts, outstanding weekend. Miami with Tua. Yeah, they got a fumble late, but Tua put enough points on the board for that fumble to be the thing that sealed the deal. Miami won. Who else won? Denver, reportedly kicking the tires on him. They won. Carolina, reportedly kicking the tires on him. Could you imagine? Sam Darnold, thanks for coming. You're about to take on the Jets. Now take a seat. Deshaun Watson's here. They won. Even the team that's putting him on the block won. Now then, you could sit here and say real bad weekend, because every single team would still probably trade for him at the trade deadline.
Yep.
But if Jalen Hurts keeps balling out, I'm telling you, it was a wild affair. 2 weeks ago, they're all kicking tires on him, and the Texans are like, yeah, we're going to keep on it. We're going to have to hold on him because we're not selling him on the cheap, but we'll definitely healthy scratch him and pay him to sit there and keep him from other teammates talking to him. They all won. That's wild. Third down. Guess who doesn't appear to be a homecoming anymore? Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Not your homecoming on the regular season docket anymore. Joey Burrow comes back from that knee injury. 20 of 27, 261. No interceptions. And two scores. How about that? Also, the guy was dropping all over the place, dropping passes in the preseason, now dropping a touchdown. The man himself, Ja'Marr Chase, 5 for 101 and 2 touchdowns. Joe Mixon ran it 29 times. 29 times. How about that? 27 throws from Burrow. Great number. They ran it 29 times with Joe Mixon for a buck 27 and a score. And by the way, T. Higgins also scored a touchdown. So the defense, you could say, might need to tighten the bolts a little bit, that it was a Kirk Cousins thing, but they did get a turnover in overtime. Yep. And they turned that game from the Minnesota Vikings, where it looked like the worst they could do was a tie, to the best thing that they could do is a tie. And then the Bengals just won it. Cincinnati took it.
And guess who they have this week?
Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears.
And Andy Dalton.
Bengals 2-0?
Maybe so. Not an 0. I'll tell you what. With what the Bears did on Sunday night, just down the road from us, or up the road from us, in previous season, don't worry, they got the Bengals. They'll bounce back. How does that taste right now?
Nope,
not at all.
Not good.
All right, now here's my hot take, my fourth down hot take right here.
Hot take. I don't even have to tap dance. You got the plank right there.
And just to let everyone know, my buddy at Cedar Spills, Tom Person, gave me this. I've got a hot take plank. I clutch this to let everyone know. This is my hot take plank to give you my hot take.
All right, what do you got?
Okay. The San Francisco 49ers went into Detroit this week.
Yep.
They knocked down Detroit. And you know what the Lions did? They smiled at him. They smiled at him, and they got up and they hit him twice and took one of their kneecaps.
Kneecaps.
And then they took two more shots from San Francisco. They took two more shots from San Francisco. And you know what?
Okay.
They took the other kneecap and they took a bite. They took a hunk at him. Dan Campbell told us what they were going
to
do.
Saying, what are you about to say?
Dan Campbell said they were going to be the last team standing, but they weren't. But he told you. He told you what was going to happen if you knocked them down. I'm going to say this about the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
They are going to be, every game this year, must-see TV.
Okay.
Every week. From Dan Campbell with whatever the hell he's going to say after the game or whatever. Jared Goff. You know, he's had crazy games here in Los Angeles. The Lions, as you know, were just like, who cares? I just can't watch them. They don't. There's an El Foldo coming, you know, and they would play some interesting games every now and then, and big finishes and crazy things. I'm going to tell you, every week, they're going to be something that you're going to want to watch and talk about. Monday Night Football, Green Bay. Here we go. You think they're just going to take it in the mouth and just lie down? I don't know. They're going to get up and take a kneecap out of Aaron Rodgers. Then the Ravens? They have the Ravens at home? Look out. They might take a hunk out of Lamar. Every single week. That's as far as I'll go. And I think that's still a hot take.
I thought you were going to predict them to send Green Bay to 2-0-2.
No. I'm not going to say they're going to win Monday. I can't do that. That's too... There's a difference between a hot take and then just an absolutely silly take.
Well, Rich, we are hungover from Vegas yesterday.
So. I honestly think that they're going to be somebody to watch every single week this year. They're going to be of interest to either win a game or stay in a game or be out of the game and come back. We talked about it yesterday, TJ, that you have to give that up. Like, you know, moral victories, there's wins and losses and ties in the standings. There's no column for moral victories, silver lining victories.
Sometimes, though.
Well, certainly when you've got a new head coach, what if they had just totally lied down and gotten beaten up after he gave that whole biting off kneecaps and taking hunks out
and
speech?
And they very easily could have. Game was over.
It was.
They could have just said,
they
scored
23 of the last 26 points, including the last 16 points.
They fought.
Right. They got an onside kick. They got a turnover. Had a chance to actually send it into overtime.
Because I put on Twitter at one point, I was like, if you're not watching this game,
right,
you're kind of missing out. Like, you wouldn't think so to look at it just on paper.
Right.
That got very exciting.
I know Jeff Okuda being out is definitely going to leave a mark.
Oh, yeah. That hurts.
That's my four downs. Coming up next, why was Clay Helton fired? I mean, I think we know the answer to it, but we all sensed that he was – I mean, that hot seat's been hot for a very, very long time.
Very
guy went 5-1 last year in a COVID shortened season. The only game he lost was the game against Oregon for the Pac-12 championship. So I guess after all that, you're not going to bounce your coach. I guess with all that money left that was on his contract, and now I guess an eight-figure buyout. But see ya, out. Who's next? Why? Where else could somebody be on the hot seat as we get set for college football week number 3? Bruce Feldman of The Athletic has been all over this. That's coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show on a busy Tuesday. Still sitting here on Peacock. What's our poll question update right there, Christopher?
Oh, good question, Rich.
Thank you, Chris. Unless you've got something else you'd like to talk to the Peacock audience about?
No, I was just scrolling some stuff, and there's odds on who wins the NFC West. Who would you take right now to win the NFC West? Same as before?
Rams.
Why would I see what the Rams did on Sunday night, physically being there and hearing that building and what a home field advantage is, and now be off of them right now?
Yeah.
Seahawks
went on the road?
Cardinals
went on the road?
Nothing against everyone else's highly impressive victories, but I mean, that would be a quick... I'd be like USC, one weekend and I'm like out.
At least it wasn't the tarmac this time.
I know, right? Or a rally.
So weird. Which team's week one win most indicative of how their season will go?
Arizona, Saints, and
Pittsburgh. Saints, 28%. Steelers, 30%.
Cardinals,
42%.
Hashtag Red Sea. How about that?
About that,
just beating the Steelers in anything that's technically a popular vote is a shocker.
Pretty much a win.
I got to hit that with a retweet. I mean, nobody still believes in the Steelers. That was a great W. What the hell? Najee Harris didn't do anything.
I just think I don't know. People are saying it was more about what Buffalo didn't do. Steelers, by the way.
What did Buffalo not do?
They didn't do anything.
I don't understand the Steelers.
Well, it's a good reason. The reason why is the Steelers were standing in their way. I didn't see too many.
Just saying Josh Allen's going back to being.
Steelers went 11-0 last year and lost everybody due to injury, like everyone. So I'm not sure where this Steeler uncertainty comes
week
from.
Week two, you know who the Steelers have?
The Raiders.
The
Raiders.
What a game!
Where's that at?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's home field.
By the way, a lot of friends.
Right there,
I might have to take the Raiders again, Mike.
I don't know. Josh Jacobs is limping around, man. They need him to run the football. How many times that guy just run for 12 yards, call back for holding, and now he's limping off with his foot falling off?
Doesn't matter. You can throw it to Waller 30 times.
That guy is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. He's in the Kelsey conversation right now.
Well, sure. In a Kelsey conversation and a Kittle conversation and don't sleep on Gronk with his two touchdowns and 90 yards.
Yeah.
Taking on the Falcons at 3:28.